If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with CookUnity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. CookUnity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly and new chefs are always joining the team. So you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning, just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, CookUnity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to CookUnity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Join Chester A. Riley and every man who tries to balance life, family, and work the best he can. Today's episode, the 1944 to 1951 series, Life of Riley, created by Irving Breacher. Now for this podcast, The Life of Riley was actually aired as part of The Weekend Binge. As I'm sure you know, The Weekend Binge is a series that I do on this podcast that is more random, mixed bag format. One of those episodes happened to be Life of Riley, and it got great feedback and a lot of requests to do a standalone specific episode of it. So here it is. Be sure to tell me what you think about it in the comments on Spotify or through my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com. My social medias, mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q on Twitter and mysteryfrequency on Instagram. You can find a bunch of other show links in the description as well. And if you could take a moment to please follow, review, and rate the podcast. And a big thank you to everyone who already has. Now, with all that, please enjoy the show.
Meat is the yardstick of protein foods. The American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley, a half hour with radio's newest and friendliest family, and starring William Bendix as Riley. Do you wonder what we mean when we say meat is the yardstick of protein foods? Let's try to explain simply. All protein foods contain substances that the doctor and the chemist call amino acids. Now, these are not acids as commonly known, but a name used by science to define certain chemical substances. 10 different amino acids are essential to enable the human body to build and repair its tissues. All 10 of these are present in meat. That's one of the reasons why meat is such an excellent food and why it is the yardstick of protein foods. Now, The Life of Riley. Well, the Rileys are slowly settling down in the small house they've rented just outside Los Angeles. And so far, everything seems to be running smoothly. Mr. Riley is due at his job at the wharf plant at 8 a.m., so we find him now in the kitchen.
Oh, Riley, dear, hurry with your breakfast. You'll miss the 7:30 bus.
Okay. I'm just buttering my toast with this cream cheese. Gee, remember butter?
Oh, and don't forget, during your lunch hour, call the plumber. We have no hot water.
Oh, that plumber's a fresh guy. I phoned him up yesterday, and he said if we wanted hot water, we should heat a pot of it on the stove.
What?
So I said to him we didn't have a pot big enough for a person to bathe in. Don't worry, Peg. I'll get a plumber here by tonight.
Oh, Barbara, what are you doing in that bathroom?
It's all right, Mother. Just some bottles fell down. You know, there's no room for anything in that medicine cabinet. Too full of adhesive tape.
Yes, Riley. Every time you use that phone at the drugstore, you buy another roll of adhesive tape.
Well, gee, Dumplin', it's nice of Mr. Witherspoon to call us to the phone all the time. The least we can do is to give his cash register a nudge.
Well, I've got to go down to the drugstore and phone the beauty salon. I'll be right back.
All that kid had for breakfast was a cup of coffee and some fresh lipstick. All she does is phone that beauty saloon.
Now, dear, a girl her age wants to look her best.
Well,
that's another reason we need our own phone. She's beginning to go out on dates.
When the right boy comes along, she won't need no phone to land him. He'll come in person. Remember that movie we seen with Cleopatra and Casanova?
Oh, Casanova. You mean Mark Antony.
Yeah. Yeah, look at the boyfriend she had. And not a phone in the joint.
Oh, what an exciting love affair that was. Cleopatra and Mark Antony. Oh, what a romance.
Well, Peg, we had quite a romance, didn't we? Till we got married.
Riley.
Gosh, I couldn't make my call. Uncle Baxter is using the phone.
Uncle Baxter? Did you have to mention that leech? My food was going down nicely until his name came up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy.
Now, Riley, stop stewing about Uncle Baxter.
That grafter. The weekend he dropped in for 2 years ago is beginning to run out.
Well, I didn't want to spoil the surprise, but Uncle Baxter's phoning about a job.
That I won't believe until I see it with my own ears.
Well, I wasn't supposed to tell you.
Just how many years has Uncle Baxter been out of work?
Well, nobody knows exactly. You'd have to look at his birth certificate.
Well, I'd better get ready for school.
Peg, that kid don't need no beauty parlor. She looks like you, and that ain't hard to take.
Oh, you and your compliments.
Good morning, Riley, my dear nephew.
Hello.
Well, Uncle Baxter, would you have a bite of breakfast?
Oh, no. Go to no trouble, my dear niece. Just the usual grapefruit, coddled eggs, bacon, and coffee. Hash brown potatoes, unless French fried are easier.
Uncle Baxter, maybe you should take a tonic. You should force yourself to eat.
Riley, when one's mind is buzzing with plans, one is much too busy to feel the pangs of hunger. Food is the last thing I think of.
Yeah, right before you go to bed. I heard you opening a second front in the kitchen last night. I presume you landed a beachhead on the icebox.
Oh, now, Riley, please, dear.
Children, now I shall let you in on a little secret.
Did you get the job?
Now, let's not get ahead of my story, huh? Yesterday, the Flick Smedley Company decided to appoint me director of advertising for the entire West Coast.
Oh, how wonderful.
Uncle Baxter, have some of my bacon. To cover that much ground, you need plenty of strength.
Thank you. The position pays $10,000 a year.
Have a cigar, Uncle Baxter, to wash down the bacon.
Thank you. Naturally, I would have known of this yesterday, but alas, we haven't a phone in the house. All day long, Flick and Smedley tried to reach me.
Well, the details don't really matter. When do you start work?
Now we come to the tragic part of the story. When I phoned them just now, it was too late. The job had been filled.
Give me back that cigar.
Here, my boy, it isn't my brand anyway. Believe me, Riley, I'd have had that job if we had a phone.
You couldn't get a job if we had a whole switchboard. Besides, you can't get a phone nowadays. There's a war. So for the duration of the duration, we use that drugstore phone. Mr. Witherspoon's always glad to call us.
Glad?
Well, sure, we take adhesive off him, don't we? Come in.
Why, hello, Mr. Witherspoon. We were just talking about you.
Sit down, Mr. Witherspoon. Have a cup of coffee.
I haven't got time. My store is full of customers waiting for me to give them a cup of coffee.
Oh, hello, Mr. Witherspoon.
Miss Riley, a girl just phoned you.
Oh, just a girl?
Miss Riley, you had 14 calls from boys yesterday. This just breaks the monotony. Here's her name on this paper.
Oh, thank you. Tincture of Benzedrine.
The other side.
Oh, Margie Myers. I'd better call her.
Oh, Babs, don't forget to buy a little something while you're there. Get some adhesive tape.
Look, Mr. Riley, every time I call you to the phone, you buy adhesive tape. I know you're trying to do me a favor, but you have created a shortage of adhesive tape in this neighborhood.
I have?
The OPA is asking questions. Tell me, are you starting a black market in adhesive tape?
No, I swear I...
Mr. Riley, get your own phone. I've got flat feet from running from my store to your house.
Well, why don't you wear arch support? You could sell them to yourself and save your own profit.
Why don't you get a boy to help you, my dear apothecary?
I've had 9 already. Every time I break one in, he gets drafted. Maybe you know someone who's overage?
Yeah, an older man, huh? Hey, how's about hiring Uncle Baxter?
Riley, you are not suggesting that I become a soda jerk.
Well, it ain't hard. You just add soda to your present occupation.
Oh, I couldn't hire Mr. Tainball.
Oh, you could not? And why not, may I ask? Are you impugning my honesty, my intelligence?
No, but I wouldn't hire anybody who sits in my phone booth like this morning and talks to bookmakers.
So you talked to Mr. Smedley this morning, huh? You lost a job because we didn't have a phone, huh, Baxter?
Well, Riley, surely you don't believe this. Witherspoon, you've lost your senses.
I not only lost my senses, I followed the tips you gave me and I lost $30.
You'll pardon me, I'm ashamed.
Well, don't be too careful.
Mr. Witherspoon, in the future, we'll try not to have so many phone calls.
Thank you. Oh, Mr. Riley, before I go, could you do me a favor?
Well, sure, what is it?
Sell me 40 cents worth of adhesive.
Well, I'll drop some off on my way to the bus.
Thank you.
Well, Riley, So Mr. Witherspoon is always glad to call us to the phone, is he?
Well, I can't help it. I didn't start the war. But I'm liable to start one with that uncle of yours. Advertising job. They probably wanted him to walk along the street carrying a sandwich sign.
Oh, Dad.
Yeah?
Not having a phone has ruined my whole life.
Well, what's the matter?
Margie just told me that Gerald wanted to ask me to the prom. But when he couldn't phone me, he went and asked that Gracie Fletcher. And now I haven't got a date.
Well, now, honey, don't get upset. Look, I ain't going to the prom and I ain't crying.
Poor child, I'll go and talk to her.
Riley, I could not help overhearing the details of Barbara's horrible plight.
Uncle Baxter, this, like every other business in this country, is none of your business. Besides, it ain't no horrible plight if my daughter don't go out with that Gerald. I don't trust him.
But Gerald's father is a banker.
Then he don't trust me, so we're even.
Riley, you owe it to your family to get a phone.
I told you can't get a phone today.
All right, my obstinate nephew. Let your daughter grow up to be an old maid. Do you want to go through life without knowing the thrill of carrying your grandchildren piggyback around the room?
No, Uncle Baxter. I gotta have grandchildren. At least two. A boy and a girl. But you need a priority.
For grandchildren?
For a phone. Say, you think I didn't want a phone.
Riley, have you tried to get one?
Well, no. I talked it over with myself, and we decided it was no use.
If I can get you a phone, will you permit me to?
Oh, all right.
I'll go immediately.
Here's 20 cents for your bus fare.
What about my lunch?
You had it just now with your breakfast.
Farewell, Riley. When you come home tonight, there will be a phone in this house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Riley.
How's Beth, Peg?
Oh, she's all right.
Holy smoke, 7:20. Time I kissed you goodbye.
Well, you're in rare form this morning, Riley.
You know, Dumplin', for a couple that's been hitched for 17 years, our romance is doing pretty good.
I like it, dear.
Sir. The Rileys don't have to take a back seat for any lovers. Not even Cleopatra and Mr. Anthony.
Well, while we're waiting for Riley to get off to work, let's go to a county fair. Those fine, sleek hogs with blue ribbons hanging on the pen? How much do you suppose they weigh, and how much meat will they make? Well, a 250-pound market weight hog will produce only about 135 pounds of meat and 60 pounds of fat for lard. Some of this is sheer loss, like the moisture that goes up the smokehouse flue when bacon is smoked to the flavorful goodness you like. And the pounds that do go for food aren't all pork chops and ham and bacon. It includes the pig's feet and hocks and spare ribs and liver and lard. All fine foods, but ones for which you pay less. In fact, a few pork cuts and some beef cuts, too, frequently sell at retail for less per pound than the per pound price of the live meat animal. They don't even return in money what they cost on the hoof. So the cuts that cost a little more must sell for enough to make up for the cost of the pounds lost, as well as for the costs of dressing and chilling, curing and smoking, and bringing the meat to you. Meats are brought from the farm to your kitchen with less added cost than any other group of foods you eat, according to the United States Department of Agriculture figures. And now back to the life of Riley. It's about 5 in the evening, and none of the Rileys are home yet. But Mrs. Riley's Uncle Baxter is at home with a man from the telephone company.
Hello. 718, check and ring back. Completed installation. Rings okay. Tests okay. Thank you. Well, there you are, sir. Your phone's ready to use.
Oh, capital, capital.
Ah, you're lucky to get one. What with the shortage. But being a doctor puts you on top of the list.
I'm not the doctor. That's my nephew.
Oh, hey, could I kind of ask the doctor a question about my tonsils?
Dr. Riley's not here. He's out on a call.
I just wanted him to look at my tonsils. But I could leave them. I got them in a bottle in my car.
I'm sorry. Dr. Riley is too busy to take any new patients.
Well, okay, then. Here, sign here.
Dr. Chester J. Riley, per Baxter Turnbull. Thank you very much.
Dad, why didn't you go to the movies with Mother?
Well, I gotta stay here and wait for that plumber. If you don't come pretty soon, I'll have to go down and fix them pipes myself.
Oh, Dad, look. A car's in front of the house, and a man's getting out.
Oh, good. That's the plumber. Now we'll have some hot water.
Well, I'm going to bed. I've got a history exam tomorrow.
Good night, honey. I'll try and keep the plumber quiet so he won't disturb you.
Hey, Joe. You see that house? There's a doctor. See? There's the shingle in the window. Dr. Riley. He just moved into the neighborhood. Boy, I sure hope he can do something for my throat. Wait for me, will you? Oh, good evening, Doc.
Good evening. Bad throat, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's murder.
Well, follow me down to the cellar. We'll take a look at those pipes.
The cellar. The cellar.
Yeah, I've been waiting for you all evening.
But, Doc, why the cellar? The light's good up here.
Look, Bud, don't stand there with your mouth open. Come on, it won't take long.
Probably all I need is some gargles.
You don't need goggles. This ain't a welding job. Say, you shouldn't have worn that good suit. By the time you're through, you'll be a mess.
Hey, is it that serious?
Oh, maybe they're rusty inside or rags stuck somewhere. We'll flush them with sulfuric acid.
Sulfuric acid? Oh, look, Doc, look. I'd better come back tomorrow.
Oh, I ain't letting you get away, pal, now that you're here. I'm desperate.
Look, I ain't going down in that cellar.
Well, don't look so worried. They can be fixed. There's nothing that a blowtorch can't do.
Blowtorch? Let me out of here. You're nuts. You're not a doctor. You're a plumber.
Riley, what's all this confounded din about? Waking me up in the middle of the evening.
Well, Uncle Baxter, there's a lunatic loose in the neighborhood. Plumber comes in here and says I'm not a doctor.
A doctor? Oh, I thought I took that shingle out of the window. Good heavens, I forgot.
What shingle? In what window? Say, there is a shingle in the window. It's not the plumber who's a lunatic. Uncle Baxter?
No, Riley, you wanted a phone. And while Riley can't get a phone, Dr. Riley can.
Oh, so that's how you got the phone, saying I was a doctor. Of all the low-down double-dealing... I'm going to take that shingle and make you eat it.
Riley, be serene. Count your blessings.
I'll serene you.
Riley, out the window. A policeman with a man who's limping. They're coming here.
Cop. Good. I'll tell them what you've done.
No, but Riley, this phone is in your name. Now, according to the law, you have committed a fraud, ipso facto.
But I can prove I ain't a doctor. I got them by the ipso facto.
Now, Riley, listen. Discretion is the better part of valor. They'll drag you out of the house handcuffed.
You mean I can go to jail for this?
Well, you can take your choice. You can either go or they'll take you. You'll be locked in a tiny cell. You won't be Chester J. Riley anymore. You'll just be number 15328.
Well, I don't care. I'm going to tell the truth.
All right, number 15329.
Eight.
Riley, you can't think of yourself. You must think of your wife and the children and the disgrace you are bringing down on their innocent heads.
Gee, if I go to jail, I may lose my job.
Riley, the doorbell.
What'll I do?
Let them think you're a doctor. Get rid of them as quick as you can.
My head's beginning to hurt. I need a doctor myself.
Shall I open the door, Dr. Riley?
All right, let's get it over with.
Hello, Doctor.
I'm not the doctor. This is Dr. Riley.
Doc, Mr. Chase here had an accident down the street.
Oh, I'm all right, Doctor.
I'll handle this. Examine his leg, Doc. We got to make sure there's no bones broken.
Well, it looks all right from here.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. See, I can walk.
Walk or no walk, the rule book says after an accident, the victim must be examined by a licensed physician.
Yeah, but officer, the man says there's nothing wrong with his leg, and who should know better? After all, it's his leg.
Officer, I think I'll be going. Sit down there. I know my duty. Start your examination, doctor.
Well, let's see. Stick out your tongue.
Tongue? It's his leg.
Better hurry, Dr. Riley. Don't forget, you're wanted in surgery.
I almost forgot. Officer, there's nothing I can do. I just moved into the neighborhood, and I ain't got my tools.
Tools?
The doctor means instruments. Professional slang.
Officer, I've got to get home.
Yeah, that's what I prescribe. A good dose of home.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute. I want to know what's wrong with this leg, in case he sues the city.
Oh, I won't sue anybody. It's only a slight sprain.
That's right. It's only a sprain. Maybe not even that. Maybe it's only a fracture.
A fracture?
Professional slang meaning nothing wrong. All Mr. Chase needs is exercise. Walking. Plenty of walking. And my advice is to start right now. Good night, Mr. Chase. There's no charge.
Wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute. You mean walking after you've taped up his leg, don't you?
Yes, that's precisely what the doctor means. Go on, Dr. Riley. The tape.
Look, officer, there's something I gotta tell you.
Doctor, you better hurry. You know, Mr. Warden is expecting you.
What were you saying, Doc?
I better tape that leg before gangbuster sets in. I mean gangrene.
I'll get some adhesive tape from the surgical cabinet.
Riley, I'm Mrs. Ponsonby. I saw your shingle in the window, and I said to myself, I must drop in and see Dr. Riley.
Lady, I'm very busy right now.
Go ahead. Take care of the lady, Doc. We'll wait.
But all right. Into the dining room, madam.
Oh, Dr. Riley, I have pains and aches all the time. And you know, last night I got the most terrible pain in my jaw. So this morning I went to see Dr. Fairfax, and he told me it was my imagination. So this afternoon I went to see Dr. Corner, and he frightened me terribly. He said there was nothing wrong. And now I'm coming from Dr. Peters, and he just laughs, but I just know that it must be lockjaw.
Little lockjaw wouldn't hurt you.
I have money. I can afford an operation.
Oh, no, I seldom operate. What that jawbone needs is rest.
Oh, you mean a month in Palm Springs. Oh, I just love Palm Springs. It's so hot and so cool and so expensive.
There's only one thing that'll fix that jaw. Adhesive tape.
How quaint.
Now, you just wait here unless you'd rather leave.
No, I'll wait. Oh, Doctor, you have a wonderful bedside manner.
Say, Doc, will you take care of this leg now?
Here's the tape, Doctor.
Oh, yes, the tape, yeah. Well, let's see. We stick a piece here and stick a piece there.
How's the lady, Doc? Anything serious?
No, just a little lockjaw.
Lockjaw?
Dr. Riley, hurry, please. I have an appointment with Dr. Fawcett in 15.
I'm coming, Mrs. Ponsonby. Excuse me, Mr. Chase. I'd better answer the door first.
Doctor, my name is Fogelfresher.
I'm sorry, I can't do anything for that.
I saw your shingle in the window.
Everybody saw that shingle except me.
There's something in my eye, Doc. Can you fix me up?
Well, I'm pretty busy taping up this man's leg here.
Oh, go on, Doc. His eye is more important than my leg.
Okay. Here, let me lift that eyelid.
Hey, now, take it easy, Doc. Anything there?
Yeah. There's an eye. and a speck of dust. We'll try and work it out. Now close your eyes. Now open your eyes. Now close them.
Yeah, they're closed.
Can you see anything?
No?
Interesting.
Oh, Dr.
O'Reilly, now will you please finish taping my leg?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, but what about my eye?
I pronounce it cured.
Doctor, you better do something. I'm beginning to feel better.
Hey, Doc, can I open my eyes now?
Yeah, open them. Well, Mr. Chase, your leg's all finished. You can go now.
Oh, thanks, Doctor.
Oh! What's the matter?
Now I can't walk.
And I can't talk.
And I can't see.
And I can't stand. Hello? What? A maternity case? Look, you better call somebody else. I'm busy. How much can a doctor like me do?
Now, Doc, if that's the case with a stork, you go on over there. Come on, folks, everybody out. Dr. Riley's got an emergency.
Well, what about my jaw?
What about my eye?
And my leg. Folks, the flatfoot is right. What's a eye or a jaw or a leg compared to a bundle from heaven? A blasted event.
Everybody out. Come on. Good night, Doc.
Holy smokes.
Riley, I came through the back door. I phoned you from the drugstore.
Oh, then that was you with the stork.
Clever ruse to get rid of them, huh?
Oh, what a night. And all because you had to have a phone. We're taking it out first thing in the morning.
Well, you're the boss, Riley. Now to remove the shingle.
Yeah, I get that.
It's stuck. I cut myself. It's bleeding. Give me some of that adhesive, will you?
Oh, Uncle Baxter. Not adhesive.
Huh?
A tourniquet. And I'll put it on for you. Me, Dr. Riley.
Riley, you have the strangest look on your face. Riley's also...
Uncle Baxter, if you do me one favor, I'll never say another harsh word to you.
What's that, Riley?
Let me apply this tourniquet to your neck. Dr. Riley! Oh.
What do you do at your house when you're all hungry for a good meat meal and your ration points are getting low? Do you just give up, or do you women who plan the meals get busy and hunt down a meat cut that will match your ration points? Well, maybe you need some help on this. Here are a few ideas from the American Meat Institute. You know, there are many meats that call for very few points per pound. For example, when you find lamb shanks at the market, there's the basis for as fine a dish as you can eat. Get one lamb shank for each member of the family. Brown them in fat, braise them slowly in a covered pan in the oven, and you'll have as delicious a meat meal as you can get in the best restaurants. Ox joints are another famous restaurant meat that you ought to try at home. So are barbecued spare ribs and kidney stew. Or, if you want to go into the good old-fashioned homey dishes, try pork sausage and mashed potatoes. Why not have a little chat with your meat man? He knows all the good meat cuts that save points and will help you choose something really good from those he has each day. Remember, even the low-point meats have the essential B vitamins and the minerals, iron, copper, phosphorus, and, of course, protein. Yes, meat is the yardstick of protein food. Statements regarding the nutritional value of meat made on this program are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
Well, Riley, you still up?
Yeah, Dublin. How was the movie?
Oh, it was wonderful, Riley. I saw a Dr. Gillespie picture. Oh, such excitement. You wouldn't believe what those doctors go through. Well, you should have been there.
I should have been there.
Follow the life of Riley next week at this same time. William Bendix, who appears on this program by arrangement with Hal Roach, can be seen currently in the 20th Century Fox picture Lifeboat. The Life of Riley was directed by Don Bernard with music by Lou Kozloff. It came to you from Hollywood. This is Ken Nile saying, see you next week.
Oh, Mr. Niles.
Yes, Riley?
Don't forget to tell our friends we all got to buy an extra E-bond and go over the top in the fourth war loan drive. Let's get this war finished, and then we all can live the life of Riley.
This is the Blue Network.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Meat is the yardstick of protein foods because meat measures up to every protein need. The American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley, a half hour with radio's newest and friendliest family, and starring William Bendix as Riley. Have you ever wondered why all of us like meat so well? Well, meat brings you aroma, flavor, and you get up from the table feeling you've eaten well. But there is another reason which not all of us realize so fully. The body must have proteins for growth and tissue repair. The right kind of proteins. Meat has that right kind of protein. That's why meat is the yardstick of protein foods. Meat measures up to every protein need. And now, The Life of Riley. The Life of Riley. A life in which a calm usually precedes a storm. Bear that in mind as we drop in on the Rileys now, sitting serenely about their kitchen table, enjoying the great Sunday morning institution of late breakfast with a Sunday paper on the side.
Junior, may I have the funnies now?
No, I ain't through, Babs.
Junior, answer your sister politely.
No, thank you, I ain't through. Well, I guess it's all up with Superman now.
Why?
He just changed from Clark Kent to Superman and forgot to take off his glasses.
Well, this is awful. Well,
what's the matter, Uncle Baxter? Bad news on the financial page?
Yes, the Treasury Department reports that there is a serious shortage of $10,000 bills.
You don't say. To tell the truth, I ain't noticed it lately, but Since I know you, Uncle Baxter, I've been having a shortage of $1 bills.
Now, Riley, Uncle Baxter will pay us anything he borrows when he finds work. Won't you, Uncle Baxter?
Indeed, I will, my dear niece. Everyone knows I've tried to secure employment. After all, there's a depression.
The only depression today is in your mattress.
Boy, that Superman's terrific. He took off his glasses just in time, and with his X-ray eyes, he can find anything.
Ah, if I was writing Superman, I'd know how to stump him. First, I'd have Superman marry Superwoman. Then I'd have them have three super babies. Then I'd bring the super family to Los Angeles, and then let them try and find a vacant apartment.
What an imagination, Daddy. You ought to write stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I got an idea for a story right now. It's a fairy story, kind of.
What's the plot?
Well, once upon a time, there was a family consisting of people. There was a man who worked in a war plant and his wife, and they had two kids.
Just like us?
Yeah, exactly like us. So this family had a nice little house, see? Only they got one room in this house they doesn't go into.
Oh, like Bluebeard? Gosh, is it a haunted room, Pop?
Why, Uncle Baxter.
What? I begin to suspect that this mad yarn is directed at me.
Uncle Baxter, am I calling you a wolf? A wolf only comes as far as outside the door. But if the shoe's pinched, take them off. They're my new ones.
Oh, Riley.
Riley, innuendo is a cruel and callous blade with which to stab a foe. I shall go now to my room and prepare to leave.
Oh, now, Uncle Beck.
I shall pack immediately after lunch and leave immediately after dinner. Tomorrow. Riley, may I borrow your suitcase?
With pleasure.
Well, Riley, I hope you're satisfied.
Not quite. Junior, go help him pack.
Okay, Pop. I'm going to my room, Mother. If Uncle Baxter did leave, could I have his room? It's bigger than mine.
Babs, you got a nice room now. Anyway, my head's all made up what to do with Baxter's room, if I ever get it empty.
Riley, I'm ashamed of you. Have you forgotten that 2 years ago, Uncle Baxter gave you a blood transfusion that saved your life?
I ain't forgotten. All I know is that since I'm using Baxter's blood, I don't have to swat mosquitoes anymore. They just bite me and drop dead.
Now, you know you wouldn't let Uncle Baxter leave here. With no job and no home to go to.
Oh, Peg, this is for his own sake. If I make him hit the road, he'll have to get a job. There's plenty of jobs open for guys who want to work. Besides, I could sure use his room.
What do you want an extra room for?
Well, Peg, down at the plant, the fellas are always gabbing about their houses they live in. But they all got one thing I ain't got.
You mean a rumpus room?
Well, no. In our house, every room's a rumpus room. I want a room where I can take fellas and show them all my stuff. You know, all my guns and fish rods and moose heads and
oh,
all the...
what guns and what fish heads?
Well, the ones I'd get to put in my den if I had a den.
Oh, you want a den.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a long time now. I'd have the walls all wood, you know, nutty pine.
Why, yes, and I could keep my sewing machine in there, too.
Oh, no, nothing doing. I ain't going to have some guy I invite say, Riley, stitch me up a doily. No, in my den, there's going to be just things I catch hunting, you know, like a stuffed animal.
Oh, you never caught any animal in your life.
Oh, is that so? Well, until I do catch one, I'll write to Joe McCardle in Brooklyn. Maybe he'll sell me that stuffed goat that advertises Bock beer in his saloon.
Oh, an old goat. Well, you must have some funny friends if they'd rather look at an old goat than at my sewing machine.
Well, now, that ain't the point,
and
Peg.
Poor Uncle Baxter. Thrown out of the house to make room for an old goat. I won't stand for it.
If Baxter wants to stay in my den, he's got to be stuffed. Peg, the way you talk now is why men want dens. Besides, Baxter's 55 years old. Kid ought to get started in life. You know, raise a family, get married.
With a wife that would drive him into his den, too, I suppose.
No, Dumplin', a nice wife like you. Only who would marry Uncle Baxter?
I don't know. He used to be quite a ladies' man in his day. Well, I was reading in the society page today about an old flame of Uncle Baxter's named Riley.
Me? I ain't no old flame of Uncle Baxter.
No. I just thought of something.
Oh.
This old sweetheart of Baxter's is a very wealthy woman. Her family were big people in cement.
They must have been a gruesome sight.
She adored Uncle Baxter, but her people made her marry a man named Farrell. She's a widow now.
Widow, huh? Well, sometimes a widow ain't so fussy.
The paper says she's coming back here to reopen the old family mansion.
Baxter would have a mansion, and we'd have his bedroom back for my den. You'd think she'd be a fairly good-looking woman, Peg?
Well, here's a picture in the paper, see?
Framed that face and a lot of money, and it ain't bad. Okay, I give my consent.
Now all we've got to do is to get Baxter's consent. And you know, Uncle Baxter, the minute I saw her name in the paper, I said, why, that's the woman who was so crazy about Uncle Baxter.
My, it's dear little Julia. She had all the qualifications that a bride should have. She had money.
She still has a very nice smile, hasn't she?
And she still has money.
Uncle Baxter, I have a lovely idea. Why not give Julia a surprise? Why not call her up?
Oh, no. Why rake over the ashes of an old love?
Speaking of ashes, here's an ad in the paper where a fellow will sell an ashtray made of an alligator's lower jaw that would look good in a man's den.
Uncle Baxter, I'll bet Julia would love to hear from you.
You think so, really? I've aged a bit since my Harvard days, you know.
Oh, why, that touch of gray at your temples makes you look like a movie actor, doesn't it, Riley?
Yeah, if I was a wave, you would be my pinup boy. Say, here's an ad where a man will sell a headhunter's head. Just what I need for my den.
Dear, when I think of that poor Julia alone in a beautiful mansion with no one to talk to.
Yes, I suppose her house has a nice bar.
Here's a man got a couple of pillows to sell stuffed with pine needles. Just the aroma I'm looking for. It'll go good with the goat.
Riley, will you put down that paper and talk to Uncle Baxter?
Oh, well, okay. Now, Baxter, about this goat, that's his widow. Why don't you call her up, like Peg says?
Oh, but it might lead to renewed romance, even matrimony. Oh, no, I'll end my days with you. I couldn't leave you two children to face life alone.
Don't worry, Uncle Baxter. We'll muddle through.
Uncle Baxter, I think you'd be very happy with a nice wife like Mrs. Farrell.
Oh, go on, Uncle Baxter. Call her up. Give her a thrill.
You know, I think I shall.
Yes.
I'll make an appointment to call on Julia at her palatial home.
Atta boy!
But I warn you, Riley, Julia may steal me away from you.
Well, sure she will, Uncle Baxter. And I want you to be the first to congratulate me.
My, Uncle Baxter, you're a fast worker. The first time you call your girlfriend in years and she invites you over the same night.
Well, Babs, our long sign, you know.
Hey, Uncle Baxter, was it you who took a bath with Mom's geranium soap I gave her Christmas?
I told him he could, Junior.
Gee, Uncle Baxter, you smelled good. You should be standing in a flower pot. Here, I'll let you wear my diamond ring I won at the carnival.
Oh, fine. It catches the light well, doesn't it?
Yeah, don't forget, and I'll give her a flash of that every so often. Scratch your head even if you don't need to.
Well, I'm off. Riley, I'm afraid I'm a bit short of cash.
Oh, well, that's okay, Baxter. Here, I'm out too.
Oh, dear, I gave all my cash to the milkman today.
My allowance for this week is all gone.
My allowance for this week was gone last week.
Well, I certainly can't call on Julia devoid of funds.
Uncle Baxter, I ain't gonna let you down. Junior, lend him what's in your piggy bank.
Oh, I've worked too hard for that dough to throw it to the four winds.
Junior, that's hardly sporting.
Go on, Junior, lend him the dough, and I'll personally guarantee it.
Okay. There's $8.65 in nickels.
Put some in all your pockets, Uncle Baxter, and keep jingling them. Then she'll know you're loaded with dough.
Thank you. Well, I go to make a lonely woman happy.
He don't know it, but if he lands the widow, he'll make a lot of people happy. Hello? Yeah? Yeah, this is Riley. Oh, yeah, I called about your ad in the paper. Well, listen, how secondhand is it? Yeah? Oh, painted green with silver trimmings, huh? Oh, you hold that for me. I'll let you know. Goodbye.
Peg, I found one. Something I wanted all my life. Something every man uses but nobody owns. A private one. Boy, if I can get that for my den, then I'll have the best den in town.
And now, while we're waiting to see if Baxter lands the widow and Riley gets his den, this is Ken Niles with a question. Have you ever driven over a bridge and marveled at the tremendous loads it could carry? Yes, any bridge must have amazing strength built into it to sustain its burden day after day, year after year. Your meat industry is a bridge over which flows the meat of this country, from farms to homes and to war. Let's see what kind of a load it is called upon to carry. 35 billion pounds since Pearl Harbor. Well, how much is that? You know what a sensational job of meeting wartime needs the shipbuilders have done. Ships are usually measured in tons, but to make a comparison, let's talk about them in pounds. In the 2 years after Pearl Harbor, this country produced 54 billion pounds of cargo ships. It will probably surprise you to know that during the same period, the meatpacking industry produced almost two-thirds as much meat, 35 billion pounds in all. To get that meat from where it was produced to where it was needed, to put it on the home tables of our workers and our allies and into the mess kits of our fighters, has been the responsibility of your meatpacking industry. With fewer workers, with more meat to handle, it has met this great emergency with the capacity and efficiency built up over the years. Yes, the bridge which your meat industry has built in peacetime has proved itself strong enough to serve the nation well under the urgent demands of war. And now back to the life of Riley. We left the Rileys just as Uncle Baxter was setting out to renew his acquaintance with an old and very well-to-do sweetheart. Riley was anticipating the purchase of a mysterious article for his den. A few days have passed, and we find Riley and Peg in Baxter's bedroom still discussing the same two topics.
Well, 3 days Baxter's been wooing the widow, and she ain't said yes yet.
But he's really trying, dear.
Yeah. They must have seen every show in town and et in every high-class joint. Set me back plenty. But it'll be worth it if the nuptials come off. Peg, I'm getting one thing for my den that'll knock your eye out.
Must be a pool cue.
No, it's terrific. And I'm going to put it right here in the middle of the room. Then I got an oriental brass cuspidor that goes over this spot in the rug where Baxter spilled the hair tonic. So, you know, I think the nap is growing.
Yes, dear.
Riley, hey.
Hey, Baxter, what's the score? Did you ask you yet? Where are you going for your honeymoon?
My dear children, I have news for you.
Wait a minute, Baxter. What's the idea of wearing my new blue suit?
What? Oh, that can't be your suit, dear. It fits Uncle Baxter too well.
Well, to be frank, it is Riley's suit. I had it altered for me.
You had my suit altered to not fit me?
To be serene, Riley, count your blessings. Julia liked me in this suit.
Hey, what's that in your hand? My picture off the mantle. And yours is up in its place.
I can explain, my dear nephew.
And what's that in your other hand? My name off in the mailbox. Say, what are you trying to do? Make me inconspicuous?
I can explain, Riley.
You put my picture back. As long as I cough up the rent and other people live here free, they gotta look at my mug. That's the price they pay.
Riley, you see, Julia, my fiancée-to-be, is coming here tonight. And I was forced to put my name and picture in place of yours.
Why?
Well, you see, somehow, Julia got the impression that I was a banker and that I owned this house. I don't know how.
You don't know how? It couldn't be you gave her a little hint, could it? Like Julia, I'm a banker and I own the house.
Have to keep up an appearance of well-being, Riley.
But if she thinks that this is your house, What will she think we're doing here?
I can explain that also.
This better be good.
Somehow Julia also gained the impression that you were my poor relation.
Oh, Uncle Baxter.
So we're poor relations, huh? Well, the minute that Mrs. Farrell walks in here, I'll tell her. No, I won't tell her anything.
Thank you, Riley.
I'll just show her my income tax where it says you're listed in three places. Chief dependent, bad debts, and depreciation. You living here has lowered property values.
Riley, we can go through with this idea just for one minute.
Of course, Riley, if you don't want me to marry Julia and leave your home.
Wait a minute. Hello? Yeah? What? You can't hold it for me after tonight. Well, okay, deliver it. Goodbye. I gotta have it for my den. Okay, Baxter, just for tonight, while Mrs. Farrell is around, you're the boss. But I'll be watching to see you do your stuff. So think up how to pop the $64 question and get yes for an answer.
See Uncle Baxter and Mrs. Farrell through that crack in the door, Pop?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just going to kiss her hand. Now he stopped. He's appraising her ring. Look out, here comes Mom with some dishes.
Oh, Julia likes the dinner, Riley. My, she's got lovely clothes, hasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, Baxter looks good in my suit, too. Any signs of his getting to first base with the widow yet, or do I have to go into the coaching box?
Give him time, dear. Now, take in this coffee and don't say anything.
I know when to keep my mouth shut. Hope I ain't butting into nothing private you wanted to say to each other. Here, Mrs. Farrell, toss some of this coffee down your hatch.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Riley. You may have your coffee now in the kitchen.
Thank you. Here, dear, kind, generous Uncle Baxter. Gargle some of this jargon. It's great to clear up your voice.
His voice? Why, Baxter, it seems clear enough to me.
Well, I just meant if he had, like some question to ask somebody, I wouldn't want them to miss it.
Riley, if you must use this room, Julia and I could have coffee in the library.
The library. Mrs. Farrell, he's a card. We got two Esquires on top of the piano. He calls it a library.
Riley, if you're not very careful, I'm afraid I'll have to cancel your plans for that den you wanted. You understand?
Why, Baxter, are you building a den for your nephew? How nice of you.
Oh, it's nothing.
Mrs. Farrell, he's always doing things for me. Tomorrow he's giving me that suit he's wearing. Of course, I may have to get altered to fit it. Boy, I'm going to have a nifty den. Look, I already got this fishing rod here for it.
Riley, perhaps Peg wants you in the kitchen.
Oh, the last time I fished was on our yacht. The day I lost Alonzo.
What's Alonzo? One of them big barracudas?
Alonzo was my late husband.
Oh, sorry.
Fishing reminds me of dear old Bertie Holloway. Great game fisherman, Bertie, huh?
Yes, he was an expert dry fly caster.
I'm strictly a wet clam man myself.
Whatever became of good old Bertie, Julia? Did he marry the Van der Vander girl?
Oh, no, Baxter. He waited too long. Poor Bertie.
Probably too slow on his feet. Sat around guzzling coffee instead of popping the question, maybe. Uncle Baxter?
But why does Riley keep winking, Baxter? Some nervous trouble?
I'm nervous today. I'm as nervous as a bridegroom.
Riley, someone wants you in the kitchen.
Who does?
I do.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Two's company, three's a crowd. Well, see you in church.
Riley! Oh, thank goodness he's gone.
Baxter, Now, I think it's fine of you to look after these people, but...
Well, one does one's duty, doesn't one?
Yes, but you mustn't humor them too far. It spoils them. A den for Riley, trout rods. Why doesn't that shiftless man get a job?
Oh, it's no use, Julia. Many's the time Riley and I have had heated words on the subject of going to work.
Baxter, now, I'm saying this because I have your interests at heart. Why, suppose you were to have the handling of, well, of a very large estate.
Such as yours, Julia, such as yours. Oh, yes, I could handle it. I never allow the Rileys to buy anything really unnecessary.
There are certain laws of economy that I feel must apply.
Well,
and,
my
goodness, what's that?
In the hall, I'll see.
Riley, what is that?
All right, take it easy, Junior. Now, not too fast, we'll break it.
Goodness.
Okay. Well, here she is, the surprise for my den.
Baxter, you bought him that huge whatever it is?
This is a complete surprise to me, believe me, Julia.
Riley, for goodness sake, what is that thing all wrapped up in sheets?
Oh, will you see it? Nobody's got one of these in his den but me. When I get it, then.
Well, let's see it, Pop. Come on.
All right. Oh, I wish I had an unveiling speech, but... Well, anyway, here goes. Here she is. A genuine old-time barber chair. Shave and a haircut. Shampoo.
Why, Baxter, this is fantastic.
Riley, what do you want with an old barber chair?
Well, Peg, do you know who once sat in this chair? John L. Sullivan. Right before he lost the title. He got shaved in this chair, and then Corbett clipped him.
Oh, gee, Pop, it's keen.
Yeah.
Look at all the different angles you can get.
Yeah, go on, sit in it, Mrs. Farrell.
Oh, no, thanks.
Hey, Pop, let me push him up.
No, leave it low, Junior. Boy, it's slick. I can lay back in it and read while I shave myself with my electric razor.
Julia, perhaps I'd better take you home.
No, wait a minute. I want Mrs. Farrell to have the honor to be the first one to sit in my barber chair.
Oh, no, thank you, but really...
Oh, come on, be a sport. Here, I'll help you.
Well, if you insist...
Riley, I implore
here,
you.
Oops, the daisy!
My, I've had some odd experiences, but...
Julia, I entreat you.
Relax, Mrs. Farrell. Now, lean back. Go on, lean back. There, now, ain't that comfortable?
Well, yes, it is rather comfortable.
See what you're missing by not being a man? Now, how about a shave? Now, if you need a haircut, you go up again like this.
No!
And now, suppose you got a tall barber. Then you'd have to go up in the air more like this.
Oh, careful, not too high.
Julia, are you injured?
No, I don't. Think so, Mr. Turnbull.
Well, Julia, now you can tell your children, all the little Turnbulls, that you sat in the same chair with John L. Sullivan.
My children? The little Turnbulls?
Forgive him, Julia. He doesn't know what he's saying.
For goodness sake, Riley, let Uncle Baxter do his own proposing.
Well, Baxter, it seems something is expected of you.
Well, Julia, the fact is, after all these years, I thought that perhaps you and I might
get hitched.
Oh, I see. Well, Baxter, I don't doubt the depth of your affection for me, but I can never marry you. You have other responsibilities. These poor, unfortunate Rileys depend on you to take care of them.
Well, couldn't you both take care of us?
No. Baxter, you must be here with them all the time. They need you more than I do.
Then you wouldn't like us to file a joint income tax return next year?
I'm sorry, Baxter. Now, if you'll see me to my car...
Yes, of course, my dear. That's the way it goes. They bite the hand that feeds them.
Can you beat that? She turned him down so he could take care of us. Now we're stuck with him.
And you're stuck with that barber chair.
Yeah. Well, there's only one thing to do now.
What?
Uncle Baxter will have to go to barber college.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. American Meat Institute's shopping reminder for this week. Bacon, 1 point. Lard, no points per pound. And most types of sausage have been reduced 1 or 2 points per pound. And you'll want to take advantage of these values. And now, anyone who knows New Orleans knows that famous restaurant called La Louisiane and its distinguished chef, Monsieur Charles Pivert, better known as Chef Anatole. Now, you may be sure that meat rationing doesn't bother Chef Anatole when you see what he can do with the simple low-point cuts of meat like breast of veal, breast of lamb, or beef stew meat. He cooks his dish with onions, green peppers, tomatoes, and other vegetables, seasons it with a bouquet garni, which you housewives know is an herb bouquet of parsley, bay leaves, thyme, and cloves, and serves it with fluffy rice. And when you taste that combination of delicious meat, tender vegetables, and delicate herbs, you know, here is a dish. You'll find the complete recipe in the American Meat Institute's advertisement in your April Good Housekeeping or Ladies' Home Journal. Note that Chef Anatole recommends the same recipe for low-point cuts of beef, lamb, and veal. And remember, no matter what kind or cut, price, or point, all meat brings you the right kind of protein. Yes, meat is the yardstick of protein foods because meat measures up to every protein need. All statements regarding the nutritional value of meat made on this program are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
Riley, it's almost midnight. It's time to go to bed.
Oh, Peg, I'm so comfortable. I think I'll stay right here.
You will not spend the night in that barber chair.
Oh, all right. But I'm going to stay right here till I finish reading the sporting page. Ain't it funny? Once you get in the habit of reading laying down, the newspaper don't make sense when you read it sitting up.
Life of Riley, starring William Bendix and sponsored by the American Meat Institute, will be back next week at this same time. William Bendix appears on this program by arrangement with Hal Roach. The Life of Riley was directed by Don Bernard, with music by Lou Kozloff, and came to you from Hollywood. This is Ken Niles saying, see y'all next week. Network.
WENR at your service, Chicago 54.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money at
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.